Blog Talk Radio.
Christ. Chapter 3. Repentance. How shall a man be just with God? How shall the sinner be made righteous? It is only through Christ that we can be brought into harmony with God, with holiness. But how are we to come to Christ? Many are asking the same question as did the multitude on the day of Pentecost when, convicted of sin, they cried out, "What shall we do?" The first word of Peter's answer was, "Repent," Acts 2, verse 37 and 38. At another time, shortly after, he said, "Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out," Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repentance includes sorrow for sin and a turning away from it. We shall not renounce sin unless we see its sinfulness. Unless we turn away from it in heart, there will be no real change in the life. There are many who fail to understand the true nature of repentance. Multitudes sorrow that they have sinned, and even make an outward reformation because they fear that their wrongdoing will bring suffering upon themselves. But this is not repentance in the Bible sense. They lament the suffering rather than the sin. Such was the grief of Esau when he saw that the birthright was lost to him forever. Balaam, terrified by the angel standing in his pathway, with drawn sword, acknowledged his guilt lest he should lose his life. But there was no genuine repentance for sin, no conversion of purpose, no abhorrence of evil. Judas Iscariot, after betraying his Lord, exclaimed, "I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood," Matthew 27:4. The confession was forced from his guilty soul by an awful sense of condemnation and a fearful looking for of judgment. The consequences that were to result to him filled him with terror, but there was no deep, heartbreaking grief in his soul that he had betrayed the spotless Son of God and denied the Holy One of Israel. Pharaoh, when suffering under the judgments of God, acknowledged his sin in order to escape further punishment, but returned to his defiance of heaven as soon as the plagues were stayed. These all lamented the results of sin, but did not sorrow for the sin itself. But when the heart yields to the influence of the Spirit of God, the conscience will be quickened, and the sinner will discern something of the depth and sacredness of God's holy law, the foundation of his government in heaven and on earth. The light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world illumines the secret chambers of the soul, and the hidden things of darkness are made manifest. John 1:9. Conviction takes hold upon the mind and heart. The sinner has a sense of the righteousness of Jehovah and feels the terror of appearing in his own guilt and uncleanness before the searcher of hearts. He sees the love of God, the beauty of holiness, the joy of purity. He longs to be cleansed and to be restored to communion with heaven. The prayer of David after his fall illustrates the nature of true sorrow for sin. His repentance was sincere and deep. There was no effort to palliate his guilt. No desire to escape the judgment threatened inspired his prayer. David saw the enormity of his transgression. He saw the defilement of his soul. He loathed his sin. It was not for pardon only that he prayed, but for purity of heart. He He longed for the joy of holiness, to be restored to harmony and communion with God. This was the language of his soul. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Psalm 51, verses 1 through 14. A repentance such as this is beyond the reach of our own power to accomplish. It is obtained only from Christ, who ascended up on high and has given gifts unto men. Just here is a point on which many may err, and hence they fail of receiving the help that Christ desires to give them. They think that they cannot come to Christ unless they first repent, and that repentance prepares for the forgiveness of their sins. It is true that repentance does precede the forgiveness of sins, for it is only the broken and contrite heart that will feel the need of a Savior. But must the sinner wait till he has repented before he can come to Jesus? Is repentance to be made an obstacle between the sinner and the Savior? The Bible does not teach that the sinner must repent before he can heed the invitation of Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. It is the virtue that goes forth from Christ that leads to genuine repentance. Peter made the matter clear in his statement to the Israelites when he said, Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Acts chapter 5, verse 31. We can no more repent without the Spirit of Christ to awaken the conscience than we can be pardoned without Christ. Christ is the source of every right impulse. He is the only one that can implant in the heart enmity against sin. Every desire for truth and purity, every conviction of our own sinfulness, is an evidence that His Spirit is moving upon our hearts. Jesus has said, I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. John chapter 12, verse 32. Christ must be revealed to the sinner as the Savior dying for the sins of the world. And as we behold the Lamb of God upon the cross of Calvary, the mystery of redemption begins to unfold to our minds, and the goodness of God leads us to repentance. In dying for sinners, Christ manifested a love that is incomprehensible, and as the sinner beholds this love, it softens the heart, impresses the mind, and inspires contrition in the soul. It is true that men sometimes become ashamed of their sinful ways and give up some of their evil habits before they are conscious that they are being drawn to Christ. But whenever they make an effort to reform from a sincere desire to do right, it is the power of Christ that is drawing them. An influence of which they are unconscious works upon the soul, and the conscience is quickened, and the outward life is amended. And as Christ draws them to look upon his cross, to behold him whom their sins have pierced, the commandment comes home to the conscience. The wickedness of their life, the deep-seated sin of the soul is revealed to them. They begin to comprehend something of the righteousness of Christ and exclaim, "What is sin that it should require such a sacrifice for the redemption of its victim? Was all this love, all this suffering, all this humiliation demanded that we might not perish, but have everlasting life?" The sinner may resist this love, may refuse to be drawn to Christ, but if he does not resist, he will be drawn to Jesus. A knowledge of the plan of salvation will lead him to the foot of the cross in repentance for his sins, which have caused the suffering of God's dear Son. The same divine mind that is working upon the things of nature is speaking to the hearts of men, and creating an inexpressible craving for something they have not. The things of the world cannot satisfy their longing. The Spirit of God is pleading with them to seek for those things that alone can give peace and rest, the grace of Christ, the joy of holiness. Through influences seen and unseen, our Savior is constantly at work to attract the minds of men from the unsatisfying pleasures of sin to the infinite blessings that may be theirs in Him. To all these souls, who are vainly seeking to drink from the broken cisterns of this world, the divine message is addressed: "Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. You who in heart long for something better than this world can give, recognize this longing as the voice of God to your soul. Ask Him to give you repentance, to reveal Christ to you in His infinite love, in His perfect purity. In the Savior's life, the principles of God's law, love to God and man, were perfectly exemplified. Benevolence, unselfish love, was the life of His soul. It is as we behold Him, as the light from our Savior falls upon us, that we see the sinfulness of our own hearts. We may have flattered ourselves, as did Nicodemus, that our life has been upright, that our moral character is correct, and think that we need not humble the heart before God, like the common sinner. But when the light from Christ shines into our souls, we shall see how impure we are. We shall discern the selfishness of motive, the enmity against God that has defiled every act of life. Then we shall know that our own righteousness is indeed as filthy rags, and that the blood of Christ alone can cleanse us from the defilement of sin and renew our hearts in His own likeness. One ray of the glory of God, one gleam of the purity of Christ penetrating the soul, makes every spot of defilement painfully distinct, and lays bare the deformity and defects of the human character. It makes apparent the unhallowed desires, the infidelity of the heart, the impurity of the lips. The sinner's acts of disloyalty in making void the law of God are exposed to his sight, and his spirit is stricken and afflicted under the searching influence of the Spirit of God. He loathes himself as he views the pure, spotless character of Christ. When the prophet Daniel beheld the glory surrounding the heavenly messenger that was sent unto him, he was overwhelmed with a sense of his own weakness and imperfection. Describing the effect of the wonderful scene, he says, "There remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength." Daniel chapter 10, verse 8. The soul thus touched will hate its selfishness, abhor its self-love, and will seek through Christ's righteousness for the purity of heart that is in harmony with the law of God and the character of Christ. Paul says that as touching the righteousness which is in the law, as far as outward acts were concerned, he was blameless. Philippians 3:6. But when the spiritual character of the law was discerned, he saw himself a sinner. Judged by the letter of the law as men apply it to the outward life, he had abstained from sin. But when he looked into the depths of its holy precepts, and saw himself as God saw him, he bowed in humiliation and confessed his guilt. He says, I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Romans chapter 7, verse 9. When he saw the spiritual nature of the law, sin appeared in its true hideousness, as his self-esteem was gone. God does not regard all sins as of equal magnitude. There are degrees of guilt in his estimation, as well as in that of man. But however trifling this or that wrong act may seem in the eyes of men, no sin is small in the sight of God. Man's judgment is partial, imperfect, but God estimates all things as they really are. The drunkard is despised and is told that his sin will exclude him from heaven, while pride, selfishness, and covetousness too often go unrebuked. But these are sins that are especially offensive to God, for they are contrary to the benevolence of his character, to that unselfish love which is the very atmosphere of the unfallen universe. He who falls into some of the grosser sins may feel a sense of his shame and poverty and his need of the grace of Christ, but pride feels no need, and so it closes the heart against Christ and the infinite blessings he came to give. The poor publican who prayed, God be merciful to me, a sinner, Luke chapter 18, verse 13, regarded himself as a very wicked man.
Good evening, my brothers and sisters. This is Sister Leola, and I am calling from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And we can begin with our prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you once again, Father, we want to thank you for this prayer line. We thank you, Father, for brothers and sisters coming together to worship and fellowship. And as we are here, Father, we call upon the Holy Spirit to fall afresh upon us tonight, to be with us while we listen and while we share and while we give testimony, while we do all these things, Father, to glorify you. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you once again. I'm asking, Father, that you be with me as I host the prayer line. I'm asking that you help me. Lord, I'm nothing but dirt, but I'm asking, Lord Father, as my Savior has pleaded for me and everyone else, I'm asking him to fill me with his Holy Spirit, lead and guide me on this prayer line. Father, let nothing come out of this mouth that's not of you, but help me to thank and to praise you with your blessing, your honor, and your glory. Thank you, Father, for all your blessing. I'm asking you to bless the word that will be shared on this prayer line. Bless each and every sister and brother. And I'm asking you also, Father, to allow them to come to share. Oh, Father, we pray for those that was on here aforetime. We ask that you touch their heart, Lord, because it's truly, the Bible says, that united we stand and divided we fall. And if we are come together to praise the Lord, we normally stay together. So, Lord, let me abide with my brothers and sisters because we've been here for a time, and I love this. They are my true brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, and I'm asking all this in his name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And brothers and sisters, my brothers and sisters, for coming to the prayer line and joining us tonight that we can share and that we can pray together and we can just sing together. Oh, praise God for his goodness. And I want to just read a scripture. I'm so blessed that I am able to host this prayer line. You know, this is a chance in a lifetime. God allow us, he give us things to do. And when he give it to us to do, he is the one to make us better. I can't get better at nothing without him. So as he allowed me, as I study, as I search him, he help us and strengthen us to be able to do good job. So I just want to thank him. And thank you also, brothers and sisters. So let me read. I'm going to read the last day event on the board. It says, as the life and life of men was rejected by the ecclesiastical authorities in the days of Christ, so it has been rejected every succeeding generation. Again and again, history of Christ withdrawn from Judea has been repeated. When the reformers preached the word of God, they had no thought to separate themselves from the established church, but the religious leaders would not tolerate the light, and those that bore it were forced to seek another class, who were longing for the truth. In our day, few of the professed followers of the reformers are acute by their spirit. Few are listed for the voice. Few are listening for the voice of God and ready to accept the truth in whatever guise it may be presented. Often those who follow in the steps of the reformers are forced to turn away from the church they love in order to declare the plain teaching of the word. And many times those who are seeking for light are by the same teaching obligated to leave the church of their father that they may render obedience. And that's coming from Desire of Ages, page 232.2. Amen. And good afternoon again, brothers and sisters. And I will begin to open the line. I'm asking my brothers and sisters to press 1, and your line could be open. I just want to bless God for each and every one of you. And we just want to just thank God for what he's doing today, that we have been here, brothers and sisters, long time. And I'm so grateful to be here with my sisters and brothers, and that I can say that truly you are my brothers and sisters. So we ask him that you press 1, and I can open your line. Amen? Amen. Okay, there's no one. Amen. I'm asking my brothers and sisters to press 1, and you can begin sharing. Just a second. Sorry about that. My husband walked in. He didn't know I was talking on the prayer line. He thought I was talking to him. But amen, amen. We open the line for 518-744. We opening your line. Amen. You can give us your name and where you're from.
Amen. Thank you, Leola. Opening my line. This is Brother Rick from Fort Ann, New York. Yeah, just praising the Lord for another day. Praising him for his goodness, and that reading that you just playing on the line, Sister, from Steps to Christ is a really a powerful one. It talks about create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me, and each one of us need that each day. We have to be asking God to do that for us, and we just had a little a couple of verses in Ephesians that I wanted to read to my brothers and sisters, talking about the church, unity in the body of Christ. And Ephesians 4, starting with verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. God is looking for perfect men and women, and in this verse, that word perfect means complete in Christ. So if we want to be perfect, then we have to be looking at Christ. We have to be complete in him. He is the one that's going to be doing the work for us, but we have to surrender each day. Continuing, it says, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive. So Jesus mentioned many times, do not be deceived. watch, remember, pray, all these things so that we will not be overcome by these.
Go ahead, Brother Rick. Sorry about that. I had wrong line open.
Yes. Okay. Yes, sister, I was just reading Ephesians 4 here, just some words here from Ephesians 4, sister, and it says here, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So to be a perfect man or woman, in this verse, that word perfect can be translated as complete. If we want to be complete, we have to be looking to Christ. Okay, and we are complete. We are like Christ. And that's what he is asking us to be, is complete in him. He does not want us to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, everything that comes along. You see people swaying back and forth. And he says here in verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So Jesus does not want us to be deceived. He says, remember, watch, pray, all these things, so that we can avoid the deception. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So we are on a journey, brothers and sisters, to grow up into Christ. He is not coming down to us. We are growing up to him. And there's just some beautiful verses here. And then continuing on, just towards the end of that chapter 4, Paul is giving us some advice here, how to live as new people in Christ. He says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. He wants us to put away all of our evil speaking, our anger, our wrath, all the things that are going on with us, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, even as God forgave us for Christ's sake. So that's just some beautiful words there in Ephesians 4 for us to live by, and it goes along with our reading tonight, sister, that you had taken there on the steps to Christ. So I just wanted to share that with my brothers and sisters, and just say it's great to be on tonight. God has been good to me. He has got us through into a new week now, and I'm looking forward to a new week and what God has in store for me this week. So just I'll be continuing praying for my brothers and sisters. I'm praying especially for Sister Tomiko and her family. Brother Eli requested prayer for his mom, himself, Brother Javelle. So I've been praying for them, praying for Sister Leola and her family, especially her son Jarvis, and Sister Brenda, Brother John, Sister Carla, and her family, just all the brothers and sisters, and Brother O'Neill. We haven't heard from him in a little bit, but I'm trusting that the Lord is taking care of him at this moment, and we will hear from him again soon. So, also praying for Brother Yudi and Sister Melissa, and Sister Powell. I got to speak to her for just a few minutes today. She was busy helping down in Jamaica, so we didn't have much of a conversation. But she is out busy and working, and just praying that she will continue to have God to give her strength, and she will continue to heal, that her leg will heal, and she'll be able to do all that God asked her to do. So, praying for my family too, sister, wife, daughter Ashley, who I have not heard from her in quite some time now, since Christmas time actually. I can't get in touch with her just through Messenger, and I've messaged her and get no response, so I'm just praying that God will be taking care of her and that she is doing well. Thank you for opening my line, sister. It's just a pleasure to be here. Hello, Sister Leola.
Amen. I'm here, Brother Rick. I'm here. And
okay.
As I was listening to your, the testimony about Sister Power, truly it is a blessing that we all heard the Miss Rosie and just happy to be building her house. And also
Amen.
We heard about Ashley. Brother Rick, I understand myself because you know I have one out there, homeless.
Yeah.
And every time I go out there to see him, look at him, and just my heart just, I don't even have words to say how my heart feels when I see my child. Mine is just not. And when he was so smart, so intelligent, and now looking at him, just talking to himself out there trying to beg for money, as the people tell him, don't do it, he go back and do it anyway. He's not there right now. So I understand. Your daughter may not be in his situation, but she's in a similar. So we, as brothers and sisters, and how we've been here, together with one another, the prayers is very sincere for us.
Amen.
That prayed on the prayer line. So I know what you're going through firsthand because I'm going through the same thing. So we definitely going to lift that up in prayer. And matter of fact, it's not many that's on here right now. And when I open the line for Sister Carla, I don't know if she's at work. We're going to ask her to give a prayer. And you just be patient, Brother Rick, knowing that you've been faithful to
yes.
God. And God said that he will take care of our children. So I just praise God
amen.
For that. Amen. Amen. So,
amen.
Brothers and sisters, I will open the line for the next caller. And also, I know Sister Carly is on here. She got her hand up. And Sister Carla, I'm going to ask you to lift up Ashley because truly a father or a mother really have some serious heart hurting when their child is not calling them or they don't know where they are. So thank you. So
amen.
You can go ahead.
Let us pray.
Mm-hmm.
Let us pray. Kind and loving Father, we thank you ever so much for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to come before your throne of grace and mercy, Lord. We ask that you will forgive us of our sins or trespasses. Help us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Forgive us, Lord. Strengthen us, Lord. We're nothing but weak children of yours who is in need of your convicting power. We ask that you will touch Ashley right now, Lord. We ask that you will help her, strengthen her. You know what she's going through. You know everything about her because you were touch with her infirmity, her mental, whatever she's going through mentally, whatever she's dealing with emotionally, physically, you have been through it, Lord. And we ask that you will bring her comfort and peace. But most of all, we ask that you will create in her a clean heart and renew a right spirit, Lord. She's your daughter. She's your child. And you have given her to Brother Rick and his wife to nourish and to raise up. Please forgive them where they have
yes.
went wrong, oh, Lord. Even myself and each and every mother and children, help us, oh, Lord, that
yes.
as we turn
help
away
them.
From our wicked ways to serve you, we present the children, the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren that you said you will content with those who content with our children and you will save them, Lord. We're claiming that in the
yes.
name of Jesus. That you will save Ashley in the name of Jesus, Jarvis, Lord, Amanda, Nicholas, and each and every one of my brothers and sisters, daughters and sons and family members and niece and nephew, oh, Lord, the youth that we come in contact with, those that are in the church, Lord, that you will deliver them from this bondage of sin. Yes. We ask also, Brother O'Neill, children, Lord, and Sister Tamiko, children, each and every one, Lord. There's so many names.
Yes.
Sister Katie, children, Lord. We lift them all up right now in the name of Jesus. Come and unify on one accord that you will touch their hearts so that they can serve you, the true and living God, their first love, and come back, Lord, to your throne of mercy and grace. You're waiting for them like the prodigal son, Lord. We claim it right now in the name of Jesus. Pray, amen.
Amen, amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
I would just like to share. Yes, before, because I have to get on the road, I just have to want to share something from the reading today, devotion. It said, great things are before us. And we want to call the people from their indifference to get ready for that day. We are not now to cast away our confidence, but to have firm assurance, firmer than ever before. Hither has the Lord helped us, and he will help us to the end. We will look to the monument pillars, reminders of what the Lord has done for us to comfort and to save us from the hand of the destroyer. We want to have fresh in our memory every tears the Lord has wiped away from our eyes, every pain he has soothed, every anxiety removed, every fear dispelled, every want supplied, every mercy bestowed and strengthened ourself for all. That is before us. Through the remainder of our pilgrim, we can but look onward to new perplexity in the coming conflicts, but we may well look on what is past as well as what is to come and say, hitherto has the Lord helped us. 1 Samuel 7:12, as thy day so shall thy strength be. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 25. The trials will not exceed the strength which shall be given to us to bear it. So I just want to encourage my brothers and sisters with those words. Amen. Thank you. God bless.
Amen. Amen. Sister Carla, we thank you so much for lifting up our children. You don't know, my heart melts when I see our children going through so much hurt and so much pain. Some can't find jobs. And when they can't find a job, they want a job, pay them some money. They don't want a job that they can't buy them a car, that they can't do things just like they see other young folks their age out here driving new cars. At least they can, God help them work it out to where they can buy a car, where they can have good transportation to and from work. You know, it's so sad. You know, people just want to live. So, Lord, I'm just asking you, help our youth. Help them, Lord, Father, to know that you are there. So, Lord, I thank Sister Carla for blessing us with that prayer. So, Sister Carla, thank you. And Heavenly Father, we lift up Sister Carla to you right now. Father, as she get on that highway, Father, we ask that you be in that vehicle with her. Send your Holy Spirit to God, lead, to protect, and to keep her vehicle, Father, because it's hard to get cars today. You can't buy something with her while she's on that highway. And, Father, we thank you so much for hearing and answering prayers. We thank you for being here with Advent Light Ministry. Lord, that we can come together, sisters and brothers, on this prayer line. God said, united if we stand. You know, he's going to be in the midst of us. So let us stand together. It is power. It is strength that we get when we stand together. You saw what he and the Savior, those two had to stand together to defeat Satan. And oh, what a blessing it was. Cast him out and all his demons. And so, sisters and brothers, let us say praise God from whom our blessing flows. Oh, thank you. A mighty God we serve. Amen. So thank you so much, Sister Carla, for that powerful prayer and lifting up the children of God. Elder Rick, And brothers and sisters, you all don't know Elder Rick. Sister Leola and Sister Carla has met Elder Rick. Truly, truly, I say a man that is such good heart. He's been with Advent Light, working and taking care of business from day one. Ever since I met him, I've just been watching his lifestyle. A brother that loves God. You know you have to love God first and love yourself. And you know what? To others, you can love others. So I thank God for each and every one that come on this prayer line every night. You come and you come give testimony, you share, and you know. Matter of fact, my sister Katie, she on here with us tonight. Sister Katie first came to us. Oh, what a blessing. She used to come and say, oh, please pray for my grandchildren. Please pray for my son. Sister Katie can vouch that those grandbabies, you know those babies was lifeline or sometimes she didn't think they were going to make it. But oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. So standing and they're running and praying. And I believe, she can testify for me, but I believe they by three, oh, they got to be more than 3 years old. Sister Katie, I really don't know their age. But look at what God has done. Oh, my God is so good, my brothers and sisters. So I just want to praise him for what he's done through the prayers on this prayer line. And not only that, God give all the praise, Sister Carla. Sister Katie told me that everything is all right. When she had that little bump on her leg and that thing just want to bleed and bleed and it been open for months and years, she told me that thing, girl, I just wanted to jump up and shout. I said, Katie, I don't know if you mind me giving your testimony, but your testimony is powerful. Something the doctors could not do. And it reminded me of that woman that touched the hem of the garment of Christ. And what happened? She was healed completely and was able to get up and walk. And now our sister is then healed from that. Now she's able to do things that God said, my daughter, I got your back. I have you. I've taken care of you. And through Sister Carla, she blessed her. I just want to give God the praise. Carla never praised God for it, but she's not supposed to give the praise. Someone else is supposed to praise. But I thank God for her helping Sister Katie. And that was my prayer. Sister Katie, no, I prayed. She prayed. We all prayed that God help her with that problem. And I thank God. And now Sister Carla sent me a cream. It's something she makes. Brothers and sisters, it's called Pain Fast. My husband was in that car accident and his hip, and he also drove motorbikes and wrecks and when he was young, and he had that hip problem and rubbed that on his hip. Let me tell you something. He tell me it lasts 3 to 4 days and sometimes it lasts 2 weeks. I don't have to put it on him. So I'm praising God, Sister Carla. You keep that good work up. Because God is in the blessing. So I just thank God. And I'm going to go to the line and open up the line for my brothers and sisters. I just wanted to give God praise in what he's doing with his people. And that is a blessing. And look at what Sister Brenda, my sister. It's a blessing. I can just give praise what God has done on this prayer line, my sisters and brothers. Sisters and brothers, do y'all see it? It is the Father. Told us, he said, ask anything you will. And he said, my Father will give it to you. Sisters and brothers, I know y'all see it. Let me open the line for the next caller. Amen. We're going to open the line for 985-232. Sister Brenda and Brother John testify all the time what God has done for them. Sister Brenda, your line open. I will shut up and let you give a testimony. Amen.
Amen. Good evening, sisters and brothers. It's Sister Brenda calling from Houma, Louisiana. I just want to thank God for blessing us. Another week gone, and thank him for what he's been doing for us and gonna continue doing for us. We got a great God. He's a mighty God to serve, and we just want to thank him for everything. I've just lost my my trip. My phone is acting crazy. Oh God, these phones, I tell you, they don't last. I don't think it's good for but 1 year. And they act up a year or two. I don't know how long I have. But I thank God anyway because they come back to life. I keep more than one, but today I wasn't aware of it because the cheering came in, and then I was focusing on them. But I'm getting there. I just want to, while I'm thinking about it, I want to actually pray for Sister Tamika because I know she moved to Florida. And we'll lift her up in prayer for seeing how they left Friday night. I heard her say they was moving to Florida. So I got to keep them in prayer. And pray for Ed Kent Light. And they'll pray for us and my family and our Ed Kent Light family. And all this everywhere. And I want to read this Bible script, but I can't get it, so I'm just going to ask y'all to just keep me in prayer. Amen.
Yeah, like said, hello to everyone. This is Brother John from Houma, Louisiana. And, we just take me easy today. Blessed to have the grandkids around, enjoying ourselves with them this evening. And they just came by. I was just happy to see them, so just enjoying the day. And as we go by, like I say, teaching them in the right way, things like that. The things that we've learned on the prayer line and through the Bible and things, we pass it on to them so they could grow up and be real responsible for their lives and everything. Treat people like they would have them treat them. And on with the word. So God bless. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I want to thank you, Brother John and Sister Brenda, for coming on and sharing. And as I was testifying about y'all's goodness, about what all the Lord has done on this prayer line, it's truly a blessing. So we want to thank you once again for coming to share, and we ask that the Lord continue to be with you all and bless you as you all are training and raising up the kids. So God bless. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, we're going to go to the next caller, and it is open your line. Amen.
Amen. Hello, Sister Miola and my brothers and sisters. My name is Brother Eli. I'm calling from Boston, Massachusetts. I'd like to thank God, Sister Miola, because God is good. He's merciful. He's worthy to be praised, Sister Miola. He's an awesome God. He's a mighty God. And he is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords. Oh, Sister Miola, I have a prayer request. My my dear sister. Don't forget to lift up my mother in prayer. Don't forget to lift up individual in prayer, Sister Miola. And Sister Miola, please pray for Sister Tamiko's husband too. Her husband's name is Brother Tony. So lift up Brother Tony in prayer, Sister Tamiko's beloved husband. Lift up Sister Tamiko's son too. There is two Tonys, Sister Miola, so lift them up in prayer. And Sister Miola, lift up Sister Tamiko in prayer. I'm praying for her family members. I feel like to sing a song at this moment, Sister Miola, before I pray for you guys, because Sister Miola, I hear the voice of the Lord say to me to pray for Sister Tamiko and pray for her husband at the moment. Let me sing a song, Sister Miola. You are Yahweh. 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 Alpha and Omega. You are Yahweh, Alpha and Omega. He is Yahweh. 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 Alpha and Omega. He is Yahweh, Alpha and Omega. You are Yahweh. 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 Alpha and Omega. You are Yahweh, Alpha and Omega. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. God, Heavenly Father, Lord. God, we magnify your name, God, this moment, God. God, we want to give you thanks, God. We want to give you praise because, God, you deserve the praise, Lord. God, you're awesome, God. You're worthy to be praised, Lord. How excellent is your name, Lord. God, this moment, God, I want to lift up Sister Miola to you, Lord. We're toasting the prayer line, Lord. We ask the God to bless Sister Miola, God, in the mock way, Lord. We ask the God to watch over Sister Miola, Lord. We ask the God to cover Sister Miola, God, with your blood, Lord. God, we ask the God to give Sister Miola the strength, Lord. Give Sister Miola deliverance, God. God, you're able, God, to do all things, God. God, bless Sister Miola, Lord. Bless Sister Miola's children, Lord. God, we want to lift up Sister Miola's daughter, God, Sister Nicole to you, Lord. God, we want to lift up Brother Jarvis to you, Lord. God, we want to lift up individual to you, Lord. God, we want to lift up Sister Miola's sisters, Lord. We ask God, allow them to fix their eyes. God, allow them to fix their eyes up on you, Lord. Allow them to fix their eyes up on you, Lord. We ask God, allow them to stay focused on you, Lord, because God, you are worthy to be praised, Lord. God, bless Sister Viola, God, in the mockery, Lord. God, at this moment, God, I want to lift up Sister Carla to you, Lord, who's on the Afterlife Ministry, Lord. We ask God to come bless her, Lord, in the mockery, Lord. We ask God to come bless Carla, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. We ask God to give Sister Carla deliverance, God. Give Sister Carla the victory, Lord. We ask you, God. Allow her to complete run the Afterlife Ministry to Lord. Allow her to bring a word, God, on the Afterlife Ministry, Lord. We ask you, God. We ask God to knock a door in Sister Carla's heart, Lord. Knock a door in Sister Carla's heart, Lord. Allow her to come preach on the prayer line, Lord. Allow her to come praise you, Lord. Allow her to give you thanks, God, because God, you are so good for her, Lord. God, bless Sister Collison children, Lord. God, watch over them, Lord. God, watch over Sister Amanda, Lord. Watch over Brother Necklace, Lord. We ask God to strengthen them, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. We ask God, allow them to come praise you, Lord. Allow them to come magnify your name, Lord. Allow them to give you thanks and praise, Lord. God, we want to lift our Sister Tamiko, Lord, who's in South Carolina, Lord. We ask God to come bless Sister Tamiko, Lord. God, we ask God to come bless her, God, in the Makoi, Lord. We ask God to break every chain, God, for Sister Tamiko, Lord. God, we want to lift our Sister Tamiko's husband to you, Lord. Brother Tony to you, Lord. We ask God, we ask God to allow him to throw the alcohol away, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. Allow Brother Tony, Lord, God, allow Brother Tony, God, to throw the alcohol away, Lord. Allow him to get rid of it, Lord. Allow him to get rid of the cigarette, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. Allow him to throw it away, God. God, we ask you, God, to strengthen Brother Tony, Lord. We ask you, God, to come bless Brother Tony, God. God, we ask you, God, allow Brother Tony, God, to bring a testimony, God, on the Avalite ministry, God, Sister Tamiko's husband, Lord. We ask God, to allow him to hear your voice, God, because, God, you are mighty. God, allow Brother Tony to say hallelujah, Lord. Allow Brother Tony to say hallelujah, Lord. Allow Brother Tony, God, to say hallelujah, Lord. Allow him to say hallelujah, Jesus. We ask God to strengthen him, Lord. We ask God to come deliver him, God. Deliver Sister Miola, Lord. Deliver Brother Rick, God. God, we want to deliver Brother O'Neill to you, Lord. Bless Brother O'Neill, God. God, we ask God to come bless individual, Lord. Watch over individual, God. God, we want to lift up Brother Akeem James to you, Lord. Allow Brother Akeem James to come in the prayer line, God, to come praise you, Lord, to give you thanks, Father. God, we ask God to come deliver him, God. Deliver Sister Power to, Lord, in Jamaica, Lord. God, we ask Power, Lord. God, we want to thank you, God, for you have done for Sister Power, God. God, give Sister Power deliverance, God. God, give Sister Power the victory, Lord. Bless her, God, in the mockery, Lord. Watch over her, Lord. Watch over every single one of us, Lord. Watch over Sister Tamiko's daughter, God, Sister Keisha, Lord. We ask God to watch over Sister Keisha, Lord. Watch over her, Lord. God, watch over Sister Tamiko's husband, Lord. And now Sister Tamiko's husband, God, to praise you, God, to magnify your name, God, to give you thanks, God, to give you praise on the prayer line, Lord. We ask God to come bless him, God. Bless Sister Miola, Lord. Bless Sister Tamiko's husband, God. Bless Sister Tamiko's husband to say hallelujah, Lord. Allow her to say hallelujah, Lord. Bless everyone, God. Watch over everyone, God. God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen and amen. Thank you for opening my line, Sister Miola.
You are welcome, Brother Eli. And we are so grateful for your prayers. And we know Brother Eli have love for his brethren. So we thank God for him to come and pray for all of us. And brothers and sisters, we ask that if there's anyone else would like to share, we ask that you press 1 and you and your line will be open. And we have about 15 more minutes that he will be on at 7:15. So if there's anyone else would like to share, you can press 1 in your line to be open. But at this moment, we want to just give God thanks for all the blessing he bestowed upon this prayer line. And we want to say, brothers and sisters, welcome again, everyone that joined Advent Light Prayer Line. And we know that you could have been anywhere else, but you chose to come to this prayer line. May God bless you, your family, and keep your home and bless your health. May he do all for you what you cannot do for yourself. Oh, God be the glory, my brothers and sisters. His grace and his mercy is forever. So let us just share. We're going to share just another scripture while my brothers and sisters wait on the prayer line, because yet we still have everyone that done press one, but we got a few more minutes, and then we're going to go into more prayers, because the prayers that we are lifting up for our brothers and sisters, not only for them, my sisters and brothers, we are lifting up prayers for things as we will be having a Louisiana, we call it the Louisiana Mission. Brothers and sisters are coming from New York, and whomever can come to join us and going out to bring the good news to the people that's out there, and the homeless, those that in the neighborhood, we can go share God's word with. And if we, and also we will need donation, Brother Rick, because the brothers and sisters got to come to Louisiana, and we will be doing renting. We will be renting a house that we can house these brothers and sisters in. And we also going to be taking care of the homeless people. We're going to be buying book sacks, and we buying them little toiletries, and we buying them little things to put in their book sack. We're going to give them books and things that they can carry on their back like a backpack, and that the Lord whatever show them that he loved them by every day they have that book sack, and they got a little Bible in there. And that's another thing we are want to get for them. We want to put a Bible in their book sack by God's grace. You know, everything costs. We're not saying we want to do these things by God's grace, and we want to do everything that God is showing us to do. Because you remember when he said, telling the little man that was in the sycamore tree, come down off that tree and go and sell what you have and give to the poor. You know, but brothers and sisters, mind me now, I'm not telling you to go and sell what you have, because you know what? If I'm telling you that, I'm telling myself. But if we have something that we can donate to help further the gospel, that you can do. Because I'm not one to tell nobody to go sell and do all. Christ tells you that in your heart. It is for Christ to tell you that, not me. So, but I just want to thank you for your help. Because when you come on the prayer line, if it wouldn't be for you on this prayer line, it wouldn't be a prayer line. So we are thanking you for coming to share. And then don't you know, there is people that come and listen to this prayer line, and as you give your testimony and what God did for you, people, we have it on our board. People from Japan, from the Netherlands, from Korea, and I think it was Canada, people from different parts of the world. You know, people have internet, and they just go and search these ministry. And the testimony that you have, you know, it could have, somebody could be going through that same thing, and it could help that person. So we are grateful for this prayer line, and brothers and sisters come to share. So I'm going to just read the scripture. By God's grace, we just looking at another scripture, how we are to love one another. Just give me that moment, how we are to love one another. And, you know, that's in, it's in John chapter 17. John chapter 17, or I think, no. This is in 1 John, 1 or 2 John. It's in the back of the book. So let me just get that right quick, how we should love one another, because God says, for he is love. So let me get that, John chapter, I think, chapter 3. Okay, it says, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, I'm going to read. It said, behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us, that we should become the sons of God. The world knoweth us not. You hear that, brothers and sisters? The world know us not, because it knew him not. He said, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and do not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So God wants us to love just like he loves. He loves us, and he wants us to love others. So I am so grateful for that. So let me see if anyone has raised their hand, and we're going to go into our prayer because we want to make sure we are ready. When Brother Akeem, he brought a powerful message last week, and the message this week, I believe that he will bring to us. May God give him the word to speak to us tonight. So we... there's anyone else? If not, we got like 10, we got like 8 minutes, and we're going to go into prayer. And I'm going to ask Brother Rick, you know, Brother Rick always pray for the brothers and sisters, and I'm going to open Brother Rick line. And Brother Rick, I want to ask if you could pray again, lift Sister Katie up and her son and her twin babies. If you can lift them up, and also lift up Sister Brenda, if those two, and then I'm going to ask Sister Brenda. Amen. Brother Rick, are you there?
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. All right. Well, let us bow so we can go into prayer. Lord, we are coming before you again, Father. You have heard the praises and the requests tonight, Lord. We heard Brother Eli's powerful prayer, Lord, praying for Sister Tamiko and her family, Lord, and all the other brothers and sisters on this line. Lord, right now we want to lift up Sister Katie, especially her son and her two grandbabies, Lord, and Sister Katie, her health, and all that she is doing and all that she has, Lord. We want to give that to you, and we want you to be blessing her with all your goodness, Lord. You have promised that you would, Lord. And Father, if we just open up our hearts to you, we know that those blessings will continue to flow and come. And Lord, we'd be overwhelmed by them. And Lord, we would have a testimony that no one could deny, Lord. And that's what we are looking for in Sister Katie's life tonight, Lord. The blessings that, and a testimony from her that no one can refute, Lord. Father, know that you can and you will. You desire to give us all good things, Lord. Said that you are more willing to give us your Holy Spirit than we are to give good gifts to us, even to our children, Lord. So, Father, we are just begging you for that tonight, for Sister Katie and for each one of us on this prayer line, Lord. Father, we think of Sister Brenda and Brother John, who came on just a little while ago, praising you. And asking for prayers for their family, Lord. We lift Brother John, Sister Brenda to you, and their children, their grandchildren, Lord. They're witnessing their testimony there in Louisiana, Lord. We just pray for them, Lord, for your goodness to be upon them, for your hand to be on them, to be close to them, Lord, to give them strength and health and all that they need, Lord. Father, you are so good to us. We have, we deserve none of this, Lord. Oh, Father, we just thank you. And Lord, I just want to lift up Brother Eli again, too, because he's always praying for his mom, Lord. He's praying for himself and for Brother Giselle. And Lord, he has many other friends that he's praying for, Lord, just to lift each one of them up to you. And especially Brother Eli, that he would stay strong in your spirit, Lord, that he would continue praising you and being such a strong witness for you, Lord. We just thank you. Father, I lift up my family to you. Lord, my wife and children, Lord, you know what is going on with each one of them, Father. And Lord, you said that you will take care of all things, Lord. You will finish the good work that has been started in them, Lord. Please, Lord, smile upon them tonight, Father. Father, we lift up Sister Leola and her family, Brother Ray, her son Jarvis, her daughter Nicole, her grandchildren, Lord. Please be with each one of them. Guide them, bless them, Lord. Keep them, save them into your kingdom, Lord. Each one of us, Lord, we desire to be in your kingdom. That's why we're here. So we also just want to lift up Sister Powell to you as she is down. Jamaica working hard, Lord. We heard her this afternoon and she was sounding good. And Lord, she's busy. And Lord, just give her health and strength there. And Lord, all that you need to continue doing what she is doing. Bless her work there. Bless the people that she is seeking to reach. Father, give each one of us that testimony that we need to draw others to you. That's ourselves. Was to point them to you, Lord. And Father, tonight, as we heard earlier in the reading from 6th place, David crying out to you, Lord, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit in me, Lord. That is our prayer tonight, Lord, that you would create in us that clean heart, that you would forgive our sins, Lord, that you would free us from this bondage to sin, Lord. Father, we thank you, we praise you, Lord. Pray for our speaker, Brother Akeem, who will be coming on. We lift him up, his mom and his dad, his family, Lord. Thank you. We praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Rick, for that prayer. Powerful prayer. Thanking the Lord for what he has done for us. What a blessing. What a blessing. So as we thank Brother Rick, my sisters and brothers, we know God has heard the prayer, and he is interceding what Brother Rick has prayed, and he will answer his prayer. He hear and he see the heartfelt what we all are going through and what he know that we need. He answered according to his will. So thank you, Lord. Thank you once again, Brother Rick, for we're going to, let's see, we're going to get one more prayer. I don't know if Sister Brenda can offer a prayer. Brother Eli offered the prayer already. We're going to ask Sister Brenda. And Sister Brenda, we're going to open your line and give us a short prayer. Sister Brenda, will you be able to pray? Now let us know. If you can't, I'll just do the prayer. Sister Brenda? Okay, well, I'll do a prayer because Sister Brenda might not be available. So, brothers and sisters, I won't say those names over because Brother Rick has lifted up the names, but the names that I will mention is the names that I know. Like Sister Tamiko, he's prayed for Sister Tamiko. But I know she's on the highway there, still driving, and I'm just going to lift up in prayer for their safe traveling mercy. And also, he also prayed for everyone, so I'm just going to second that prayer because, you know, we don't want to go back to God and say, oh, I'm just going to agree. So, our Father, which art in heaven, we come before you once again. And Father, we lift up Sister Tamiko in prayer because we know that her daughter is driving. And we are asking you to give them safe traveling mercy, to give them protection, and keep them, Father, until they get to their destination. Be with them, lead them, and guide them, Father. And we thank you for what you will do. And now, Father, as we are in agreement with every other prayer, Brother Rick have lifted up for his family, his for everyone that he's prayed for. Father, we thank you. We thank you once again for every prayer that has been prayed on this prayer line. As we continue to pray for one another, Lord, we ask that you bless our heart and bless us, Father, because we do have love for one another, that we keep one another in prayer. Bless our words and all things that we try to do for one another. So, and Father, we also pray for the Louisiana mission. We asking you, Father, to go before us and prepare and to do everything and remind us. And if I don't remember, help one of our brothers and sisters to remember to bring it to the board that what we need to do concerning coming to Louisiana, because we want to have our brothers and sisters. We don't want them to not have a comfort state. We want them to have a comfort state and to be blessed here. And Father, we just pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, as also we lift up Brother Akeem and his ministry, that what he was bringing to us tonight. Bless him and keep him, Lord. Give him the words to bring to us that we may go and seek these things again, and just to give you praise and give you worship. We for all these blessings, we do pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So thank you once again, brothers and sisters, and let us, Brother Akeem is not here yet, but we're going to see. We're going to see if Sister Carla can just, if she might be driving. So let us just open her line. She can just say, okay, she's driving, so we don't want to, you can't pray, right?
Can you pray? But I don't know if the background noise,
It's okay. We, you know, it's not bad. I'm going to use my phone because I have some background, too.
Okay. Let us, a general prayer?
Yes, just a general prayer, because we don't lift up everybody's name, and you can just agree however the Lord leads. Amen?
Okay. Honey, loving Father, we thank you again for blessing us. We thank you for a new day. We thank you for health and strength that you have given us. We ask that your will be done in our life. Your will be done in our home, Lord. We ask that you will help us as we plan for the Louisiana trip to evangelize a part of Louisiana, that you will go before us and soften the heart of the people and help us, Lord, also to repent of our sins and to be strengthened and to be encouraged and to be filled with the Holy Spirit, so that we can be unified and one apart, so that we can cry aloud and fear not and show thy people their transgression and tell the people in Louisiana about your soon coming and the hard preparation that they need to make. But we ourselves need to have that hard preparation. We ask that you will help us and strengthen us for a time just as this, Lord, as we lay all our plans, our burdens, our care at your on your table, that you will show us and guide us and teach us. Bless again each and every one of us. The unspoken prayer requests, be with those who are listening in China, in Japan, in the Netherlands, in Canada, the Caribbeans, and throughout the United States. Lord, we ask that you will help them and strengthen them, especially those that are fearful and of a weak hand, Lord, weak heart right now. We ask that you will remove that fear, knowing if we trust in you, you will protect us and guide us as the apple of your eyes. Bless us again, those that are in need of financial blessing, those that are in need of jobs, Lord, whatever it is, physical, mental healing, Lord, we ask that you will bless them and touch them and deliver them from the hand of the enemy. We thank you again. We praise you, Lord. We ask that you will put your word in our mouth, and especially in the mouth of the speaker as we go and share the good news, that it will be words bring forth from the Holy Spirit. We thank you and we praise you ever so much in Jesus' name. Amen.
And amen, amen. Thank you so much, Sister Carla, and for offering us another prayer. You know, my sisters and brothers, when I asked Sister Carla to offer another prayer, she went right in and zeroed in on that mission for Louisiana. So, yes, that prayer was needed again. I want to thank God for that. I want to thank God for every prayer that has been prayed on this prayer line, because everyone touched to be said, and I'm grateful that each one of us offered that prayer, because God is the one. Just what, you know what he said? He said, just watch. He said, watch and see, because he said, stand back and see the salvation of God. So just watch and see how he will answer prayer, sisters and brothers, because God is a God to answer prayers. He's a God to deliver. So just watch and see what he will do. He say, try him. And he say, do you think he won't do it? He say, I will do it. So I'm grateful to what he, who he is. He is prayers. And we are now waiting on Brother Akeem James, and he will bring us the message. But I will play a song before he come on, and then as soon as he come on, he should be on in a few minutes. But I'm going to play this song to help us to think about our Savior. Listen at this, this song.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain, or be Jesus than anything that this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than man's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything that this world affords today, than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than any that this world affords today.
Amen, amen. Brothers and sisters, Brother Akeem says he'll be on in a minute. I just wanted to play that song, I Rather Have Jesus Than Anything. You know, my brothers and sisters, we all know we got to live in this world. So many things that we need. But you know what? The Bible says that Jesus is all we need. So I thank God that he provides for our need. And now that our need is the food he provides for us, a roof over our head. And you know what? He give us some wants. He give us a blessing to drive cars. And it's a blessing. So Brother Akeem is here with us, and let us open his line. May God his word as my brother begin to share. He is our speaker tonight. So 301-640, the line is now open, and you may go ahead and speak. Amen.
All right. Amen. Amen. Glad to be back on once again, and I pray that the last week has been well for each and every one of you. God has truly been good to us. I know that there are powerful things that I can testify of that God has done, and I truly praise his name for it. And as we go into the word again today, we're going to be continuing our series that we ended off on last week concerning Jacob. And so as we commence, let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the opportunity once again, taking us through another week, O Lord, giving us another Sabbath that we experienced yesterday. And Lord, you know the different challenges that we are facing. I pray that as we look at the life of Jacob, we may receive hope. I pray, O God, that we may understand what you would have us to see. Father, open our eyes that above all else we would see Jesus. Do your great work within us and lead us. Forgive me of my sins, O Lord, and my shortcomings. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, so last week we covered that Jacob lied to his father Isaac, and he worked in connection with his mother Rebecca, who actually led him on and guided him in doing that deception towards his father. But of course it was his own decision, but he chose to follow the words of his mother, who, while trusting that he would be the leader of the two brethren and of the nations that would come from them, that he would be the leader, while she trusted that promise, she didn't trust God in how he would bring it about. So while she knew the promise was for Jacob, she wanted to accomplish that promise in her own way, and not in through the lens of truth, but through the lens of deception. Through deception, she desired to bring about what God had prophesied. And we see that, those kind of situations, even with Abraham before, right? Abraham had a situation where him and Sarah tried to help God. They knew what God had told them, and to an extent they may have believed what God had told them, but they tried to help God in bringing about his purposes. And the way that they did it was another way. It was by bringing in another woman into their lives. The result was later on he had to separate from not only that woman, but also his son Ishmael, because they sought to help God, and the way that they sought to do it was a corrupt way. And not only that, they could not wait on God to accomplish his purposes. In the same way, Rebecca and also Jacob, following his mother, could not trust in God to bring about his promise in his own time and in his own way. And how many of us, we are tested on that point. How many of us may know what God has promised? How many of us, through different situations of life, we may see that God has promised us certain things based on his word, based on providence. Maybe the Spirit of God spoke to our hearts and our conscience, saying, I will do these things for you. in your life. But the thing is, maybe we don't see it in the time that we desire to see it. And so we go about trying to do God's will our way. We also saw that in the life of Moses. We are told, not only in Scripture, but in the spirit of prophecy, that the parents of Moses perceived that he would be the deliverer of God's people that were in bondage in Egypt. Moses, growing up, being taught that, believed that he was supposed to be the deliverer. But the way in which he went about trying to help God in order to bring about the deliverance of the Israelites was by killing an Egyptian. And so once he did that, he ran for his life. Once it was found out by the leadership, once it was found out by Pharaoh, he fled into the land of Midian. And it was there that God helped him to realize it is not through force of arms, it is not through your power, but mine, that I will accomplish my work. And once Moses was humbled over the period of 40 years in Midian, God again sent him back to Egypt. But now he understood that God will bring about his will through me in his way and time. And through that, friends, we learn that we must not force the hand of God. We must not force the will of God. We must not seek to have God do things our way. Because many times, friends, all the time actually we see, friends, God can never be controlled by man. No one can control him. He does things in his own way, in his own time, according to his own methods. And we have to be open to that and trust that he will bring about his promise. But we saw that many times when people did things that they weren't supposed to do, for example, in the case of Jacob and Rebekah, as a result of Jacob listening to his mother, he had to ultimately flee after deceiving his father and receiving the birthright. Why? And receiving the blessing. Not the birthright, but the blessing. And before that, deceiving his brother and getting the birthright. He had to flee because his brother wanted to kill him. Now, friends, after leaving that place where his father and his mother were fleeing for his life from the hand of his brother, he never saw his mother again. Jacob never saw his mother again. She died before he ever got back to the land that he had fled from. But not only that, friends, in fleeing, he fled and he was told, not only by his mother, but by his father, to flee to the house of Laban. That is Rebekah's brother. All right, so he fled there. And as we covered last time, Laban lied to him. Probably got him intoxicated during the feast. And he was so intoxicated that he didn't realize that Leah was not Rachel, the woman that he really wanted. And so he married her. And he found out that after all the intoxication wore off, he realized that he had been deceived. So the very seeds that he had sown, running to another place, he ran to a place where it teaches us two things. He ran to a place where he was now reaping the harvest that he had sown. He had sown seed of deception. Now he was beginning to reap that harvest from that seed. And so he himself was now deceived by his mother's brother. And that shows you what kind, probably giving us an indication, a kind of hint that while, yes, Rebekah may have been a godly woman, the tendencies, each and every one of us has sinful tendencies that must be overcome and cultivated tendencies to sin that must be overcome. And maybe one of the tendencies in Rebekah's family was that of deceit. Not only did she work deception, but her brother was also a deceiver at heart. And so he deceived Jacob in this situation, probably because, as we read later on, he did not want Jacob to leave. Because in Jacob doing work for him, not only was Jacob greatly blessed, but there was an overflow, so much so that Laban's entire household was being blessed. And so, friends, Laban did not want Jacob to leave. So you have to work another 7 years for Rachel. And so we see it's coming full circle. Now we're going to look at a story that actually truly brings it full circle. All right. And so let's go in our Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 to 31. Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 to 31. And now we see the story come full circle. Jacob is now coming back to the very place of his father from which he had fled. And as he is now coming back to the place where Isaac, to the place where Esau dwelt. This is what it states here. It states in Genesis chapter 32, verse 22 onward, it says, and he, Jacob, rose up that night and took his two wives and his two woman servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had, right? So he sent them over this brook. And now look at what happens after he does that. He's alone now. And in this moment of loneliness, it says, and Jacob was left alone, verse 24, and there wrestled a man with him until the break of day. Who knows how long that was, right? Because at the moment when he sent them over, verse 22 says, and he rose up that night and took his two wives and woman servants, 11 sons, and passed over the ford Jabbok and took them and sent them over the brook and sent over all that, and sent over that he had, meaning his possessions. But it was after this now, from that time to now daybreak, there was a man that was wrestling with Jacob. It tells us in verse 25, it says, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, look at what the man did. It says he touched the hollow of his hip. So when this mysterious figure who was wrestling against Jacob saw that he prevailed not against Jacob, what did he then do? It says he touched the hollow of his thigh, meaning the hollow of Jacob's thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. So this is powerful. Actually, the Sabbath School Quarterly for our church brings this point out very powerfully, that it probably went from a fight where it seemed like Jacob was winning, because the reason I say seemed is because we're going to find out who this stranger is that he's wrestling with. But Jacob seemed like he was winning. This stranger touches the hollow of his thigh, and his hip, his thigh comes out of joint, right? And he wrestled with him. It's in this situation that the fight, the wrestling, probably went from a situation of what seemed like Jacob was prevailing to him only hanging on, to ask, to plead something. And this is when we realize, after this situation in which his thigh was dislocated, this is what it then says. Verse 26, and he said, let me go. This is the stranger that Jacob was wrestling with, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go. Now here it is, except thou bless me. So it gives us a realization that Jacob began to realize that this was more than just an ordinary man. This person, he recognized, was supernatural, and we're going to see how supernatural Jacob really believed he was. It says, and he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. Now, friends, it's powerful, because at that moment, we are told in the book Patriarchs and Prophets, page 198, it says the following. As an evidence that Jacob had been forgiven, his name was changed from one that was a reminder of his sin to one that commemorated his victory. And this is what we read here. In verse 27, it says, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. What does that mean? As we saw last week, it means deceiver. It means supplanter. It means one who usurps another by deception, by cruelty, by evil. And so in this situation, this is what Jacob means, a supplanter, a deceiver. So when he says, what is your name? What he was really trying to do, what this stranger was really trying to do, was to try to get Jacob to recognize who he was, to realize the seriousness of what he had done in deceiving his father, in not waiting upon God to accomplish his will in his time. And so, as an evidence, we're told in Patriarchs and Prophets, page 198, as an evidence that he had been forgiven, what happened? His name was changed. Where? Verse 28. It says, and he said, thy name. So in other words, what did Jacob do in verse 27? The stranger asked him, what is thy name? Jacob acknowledges, my name is Jacob, meaning I acknowledge that I have been a deceiver. I have been wicked. Despite your great blessings, I have done my family evil. And so in light of this now, what does the stranger do? And it says, and he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. Why? For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. All right? So, literally, who is this? All right?
what is basically being said in verse 28 is that, Jacob, your sins are forgiven. Your past is forgiven. That should already tell you who the stranger is, right? Because it says, the stranger said, thy name shall no longer be called Jacob. In other words, you shall no longer be identified by your deceptive character. But you have experienced a change, hence your name shall be called Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Patriarchs and Prophets, page 198, goes on and it says, as an evidence that his name, that he had been forgiven, his name was changed from one that was a reminder of his sin to one that commemorated his victory. Thy name, said the angel. Now notice that. Thy name, said the angel, shall be called no more Jacob, the supplanter, but Israel. Why? For, or because, as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Jacob had received the blessing for which his soul had longed. His sin as a supplanter and deceiver had been pardoned. Do you see that? So the man was pardoning by changing Jacob's name. He was pardoning his sin and giving him a new start. It says the crisis in his life was past. Doubt, perplexity, and remorse had embittered his existence. But now all was changed, and sweet was the peace of reconciliation with God. So we're realizing, whoa, so this stranger, not only does Jacob tell this stranger, bless me, which reveals that Jacob realized this was more than just some ordinary stranger, but the way that we know that it's more than some ordinary stranger is because by saying your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, in a sense, what this man or stranger was doing was forgiving Jacob's sin. And saying that now you have a new name. In other words, a new character. Now it's powerful because, as I mentioned before in verse 26, Jacob received this experience of the acknowledgement of God, the wonder-working miracle that his character had changed, therefore a new name, because he didn't let go. You see, many times the spirit of prophecy tells us how few know what it means to wrestle with God. And friends, it's not just to wrestle with God, it's to wrestle in such a way that you won't let go until you have received that which you have petitioned the Lord for, of course, as it is in harmony with his will. It is to plead with him. And that is exactly what Jacob did. Even when his tie went out of joint, he held on for dear life. And friends, that's where some of you may be today. You're just barely hanging on. The pain, I'm sure, from Jacob's thigh coming out of his joint was probably excruciating, but he would not let go. And I pray that it will be the same for us, that we will not let go until we have received the blessing we have petitioned God for. And what I'm saying, what is that blessing that we desire from God? It should be the ultimate blessing that we desire from God should be what Jacob desired, and that is the forgiveness of sins. And Jesus says, I can give that to you. And this is why, friends, I truly believe that if this angel said to Jacob, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but it shall be called Israel, a symbol that his sin had now forgiven, who alone can forgive sins but Christ? It is Christ who does this work. And so this is what we're going to find out. Now look at what it says here. Verse 29, and Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it, or why is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. Now look at what happened here. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. So do you see what we're seeing here, friends? Who did Jacob believe that he saw face to face in that wrestling match? He believed that he saw God. He believed that he saw God. And indeed, according to John chapter 1 and verse 18, the way that the Father communicates with the world is through the Son. So the one that he wrestled with is none other than the Son of God, Jesus Christ himself, the one who had blessed him and identified that his character had been changed was none other than Jesus, the Son of God. Now, friends, the reason that this is so important is because the experience that Jacob went through in wrestling with that angel The experience gave, what the passage is going to show us is something powerful, because even when we are transformed, it does not mean that there are certain painful things that may not still be there to keep us in total dependence upon God. It's very interesting because when Jacob had that experience, he received a blessing, but there was also pain that came with that blessing, and that pain stayed, by the way. How do we know that? It says, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, verse 30, and for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And when he, and as he passed over Peniel, that's another way of saying Peniel, the sun rose up upon him, and he halted, he limped on his thigh. Now look at how the children of Israel commemorated this. That means Jacob had this limp for the rest of his life. And who gave it to him? Jesus. For what purpose? That he would ever remember that experience, and that God gave him a new name, a symbol that he had a new character, that his life was changed. And so in order to commemorate this halting of Jacob upon his hip, it says, therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. You see that? So in other words, there was pain left with the peace. Jacob had gained peace, but there was an aspect that remained now, and that was that Jacob would limp for the rest of his life. And that's what's so powerful about this. Why did God do this? Why did Jesus leave that limp in his leg? It was ever a reminder of that season when he wrestled with God and was forgiven, that he would never be able to forget it. Friends, there are things that God may leave in our lives that help us to ever depend on him. But sometimes if it were another way, many of us would be in many different places. God says, I want to come close to you. I want to be reconciled unto you. But you have to accept the sacrifice that I made for you. Now, I want to read a statement here, because this statement brings out the fact that what Jacob went through is what we will go through at the very end. Jacob's experience is a manifestation of our experience. This is what it states here. This is found in Patriarchs and Prophets, page 198 to 202. It says, in his night of anguish beside Jabbok, when destruction seemed just before him, Jacob had been taught how vain is the help of man. Do you see that? How groundless is all trust in human power. He saw that his only help must come from him against whom he had so grievously sinned. Helpless and unworthy, he pleaded God's promises of mercy to the repentant sinner. That promise was his assurance that God would pardon him and accept him. Sooner might heaven and earth pass than that word could fail, right? So the word of God will never fail. And it was this that sustained him through that fearful conflict. Jacob's experience during that night of wrestling and anguish represents a trial through which the people of God must pass just before Christ returns. You see it? So this is why God is giving us this story. Because in the story, we see that in the end of time, we will wrestle with God as well, thinking, where is the Lord? But at the same time, trusting that somehow he is there. It then goes on to say, it says, such will be the experience of God's people in their final struggle with the powers of evil. God will test their faith, their perseverance, their confidence in his power to deliver them. Satan will endeavor to terrify them with the thought that their cases are hopeless, that their sins have been too great to receive pardon. They will have a deep sense of their shortcomings, and as they review their lives, their hopes will shrink. But remembering the greatness of God's mercy and their own sincere repentance, they will plead his promises made through Christ to helpless, repentant sinners. Their faith will not fail because their prayers are not immediately answered, they will lay hold of the strength of God, as Jacob laid hold of the angel, and the Lord of their souls will be, and the language of their souls will be, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. This will have to be the experience of God's people at the end of time. And so what Jacob went through here, because of his deceptive schemes, we will have to go through because of our truthful proclamation of God's word at the end. We will have to wrestle with God. I was just reading the other day in one of our inspirations writings, and it states that we, friends, will even have the trials that we will face will go so deep that we will be going through our own bit of Gethsemane, not the fullness because we can never bear it, but a piece of it when we go through the time of trouble. And Christ went through this in his own time. Hebrews chapter 5 and verses 7 and 8 tells us, it says, Christ in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. So we're seeing here that just as Job had a situation where he needed God and cried out to God for help, and God came and changed his character and gave him help, in the same way, friends, Christ needed help. Why? Because his life was continually on the line. People were continually trying to kill him. And Jesus came unto the Father, who was able to save him from death, prayed and cried, and God the Father worked out a way in which to save Jesus from his enemies. In the same way at the end of time, friends, it's powerful because when you look at the end of Jesus' life, as the sins of the world were coming upon him, Jesus felt like a sinner as he was bearing our sins, but he was not. And in the same way, at the end of time, we will feel the burden of our past wrongs and our iniquities that we have overcome. We will feel and wonder, Lord, the temptation will be, am I pardoned? And the assurance will come back that if we trust Christ, that we are truly in him and our sins are forgiven. And it is at that time, friends, the Bible tells us in Matthew 24:9, then will they deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended. That means many will stumble in the faith, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Why? Because the persecution will be so intense. And friends, unless you have Jesus dwelling in your hearts, unless we have studied books like Genesis and seen the experience of Jacob and what we must become and what we must avoid, friends, when this time comes, many will be offended. In other words, many will stumble and leave the truth of God for these last days. And so my prayer is that we will learn what it means to wrestle with God, that we will spend time in serious prayer with him, that we will give ourselves to prayer and to fasting and to grow in Christ as we bring all of our troubles, all of our sorrows before him intensely and intentionally. Friends, we can know that he will give us an experience that we cannot even imagine, an experience to face the time of trouble. And so as we're looking at this story of Jacob, friends, as we end off with that today, I pray that it made sense, that as we look at Jacob's life, we are seeing an antitype of the final generation. We are seeing an antitype pointing forward to the life of Christ, who would go through worse than Jacob, not for doing deception, but for doing righteousness. And so, friends, may we pray that we enter into the experience of wrestling with God, that we may overcome in our homes so that we can go before the world and testify that Jesus is coming, having had an experience of character transformation as Jacob did with Christ. If that is your desire, I ask you to pray with me as we close. Father in heaven, I pray that, Lord, we shall no longer be like the world, Father. Help me in that area as well, that I will leave all behind to follow you. Father, I pray the same for all those who are listening here today. And I pray, oh God, that you will give us a living experience in which we know what it means to wrestle with you, to to gain a practical Christianity so that we can be a practical witness. Do this word in us. Do this, fulfill this word in us, I pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Brother Akeem, we want to thank you for the message that you share with us tonight as we allow God to shake us. Because, you know, if he doesn't shake us and we don't wrestle with that, I'm telling you, it's, you know, but that's what it's all about. We just got to allow God to continue to work in our lives. And you know what? When we wake up and when we realize that's God working in us, times the brother or the sister changed their life. But those that are still fighting, you know, there's still many of us still fighting God. And, you know, we just ain't ready. So by God's grace, we just pray for all those, even myself or anybody that's struggling and not ready. We pray that we all be ready for when he comes. And so we thank you for bringing these messages weekly to us and your patience and your kindness to come to the prayer line. I'm sure everybody on Advent Light, they always speak of Brother Akeem. And I mean, not Akeem, my nephew named Akeem. But we are grateful to you, brother. And we hope that, and I was sharing with Brother Rick, we hope that you will be able to make it to Louisiana because, brother, it's a great work. And it's some good people. Good people, but they just need to know. And I'm telling you, you would see for yourself. So, but we want to thank you tonight as you always bring this message. And maybe we can get more of those people on this prayer line. Once they hear Brother Akeem in the streets, they can come hear Brother Akeem on the prayer line. Would that be a blessing? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
So we're going to just sing. Thank you. And we're going to just play the music. Okay. So once again, Brother Akeem, you have a blessed night and have a blessed night, brothers and sisters. And I will close out with this song. Amen. Okay.